Mr. John Willens Brown. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Brown?
I was born 8th of November 1912 at Hetton Hall, County Durham.
And could you tell us a bit about your family and a bit about, you know, what sort of background you grew up in? What does your dad do for a living?
Is it on here? Well, he worked in the mines for a time, but after that he came out and he worked on the roads when they were building the roads, and then he was unemployed quite a long time, about 10 years.
How many were there in the family?
Four of us.
Brothers and sisters, aren't they?
One brother and two sisters.
And was it tough, though? I mean, it sounds like Dad was out of work a fair bit.
Yeah. When I went to school, he was out of work, probably quite a long time. And when I finished school and went to work, I was the only one working for quite a bit.
Now, you didn't stay in Hetley Hall, did you? You moved when you were very young.
We left and came to Northumberland.
What year?
About 2 years after that.
1914?
Yes.
And whereabouts in Northumberland?
At Walborough. At a good year address, 50 Northumberland Street.
And what kind of a house was it? I mean, what do you remember?
Tell us, another upstairs flat. The front of the houses was terrace houses facing the main road, and behind was the flats where I lived.
And, I mean, can you tell us a bit about your life when you were young?
Well, it was only school and that, and used to go rambling around when we had time like it.
What about school then? Take that first. Which school did you go to?
The Walbottle School, Walbottle Council School.
And what kind of an education did you get there?
Well, the same education as everyone else. We went from going in to the finishing class was 7. From the start, there was about 5 classes from infants. You started as infants and then you went to the high school, the classes of the high school.
Was there a heavy concentration on the 3 hours or was it the more subjects?
Yeah, that's what it was then, that's all we learned. Yeah.
Did you enjoy school?
Yes. You had good teachers. And we enjoyed it. And then I finished there when I was 14.
Now, what about the First World War? You were very young, you know, 2 to 6. Do you remember much about the effects of it? Or?
Yeah, my father went away towards the end of the war. And he was driving a short time before the end of the war.
So who was he with? Do you remember?
You know, I went abroad, it was some place down in London, he drove.
Just for the transport?
Yes, transport.
Did the war affect you much?
No, with being so young, it did. No.
And what about, were you a member of any of the boys' organisations when you were young? You know, Boy Scouts, Boys Brigade, anything like that?
No, just knocked around with the other lads in the streets.
Were you interested in football or cricket or sport?
No, not very much. Cycling, we used to cycle at times.
What about any other hobbies?
Well, that was all I was in them days, just walking and things like that. till I started work life.
Now, when you left school at 14, so that'd be 1926.
Yes.
And what were you planning to do, or what did your parents plan for you to do?
In them days, your parents planned nothing for you, and you didn't plan anything. It was just life as it came. Understand?
And what was life?
Yes, what? Living was life.
But what does that mean? What were you to do when you left school?
You had to get a job, you had to work to keep the family. Had to keep the family.
So where did you work?
I started work at the Coronation Colliery at North Walwell.
What was your first job down the pit then?
Driving poorly. Poorly driving.
Now, what exactly did that entail? Can you tell us a bit about it, what you did, what your work was?
That was only, the coal was transported from the face to the landing with the putters, with the small horses. And then from the landing, we drove out to the shaft to come out the colliery. With bigger horses, like
pulling tubs.
Pulling tubs.
Were the tubs bigger that you used?
No,
they were
only about 8 yards.
So the same tubs as the putters pulled, but just bigger horses to pull them.
Yeah, because it was longer from the face to the shaft. You see, because the face was going in all the time. When the coals go, take the coals out, the face gets farther away from the face, and the horses would. Not very much bigger, but a bigger horse where the ponies had to get in lower places, so there were smaller ponies. You see what I mean? Where from the landing, the drive out was maybe the height of that, or the height of the door there, you see?
So 6 foot something, 6 foot 4?
6 feet, 7 foot. Yeah. Where the face could be like getting under the table there.
3 or 4 feet. And
if it was a 4 foot seam, if it was a 3 foot seam, it was 3 foot.
And so that's all you did all day, was go backwards and forwards?
Yes.
Would you have more than one tub to each pony? Because
no.
It was on rails, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were on rails, yeah. You used to pull about four to the shaft. And then when you got to the shaft, you pulled the pin out, the horse shifted over to the other side where the empties were, and you hooked up, you got straight in position, and you hooked up, and you took four empties back to landing.
Was that all you did all day then?
Yes.
And how did you find that?
Well, how did you find it? It was working, it was what you had never done before, so it was interesting. And that was the way life was. You took it as it came.
Was it a hot or a wet pit?
Well, it was wet. In places. See, it could be dry one place. The dries was mostly dry where the faces was wet, you see. We didn't come in contact.
Was there much of a problem with methane or gas?
No. Well, that was all sorted out by the... ventilators and things like that, the air, but we never found anything different.
What about, were there many accidents? Was it a safe pit? Or
yeah, very few. Yeah. But later on, I came off driving and I used to work in the stables.
How were the horses treated? What was their life? What was the routine of looking after the horses or ponies, whatever?
Well, they were treated well. It wasn't with Jenny. There's always somebody that lost them. Took their life, took it out of the horse, but the horses was good, and the horses was funny because if the person treated them badly. They made sure that they got their own back.
How?
Well, they'll do things that you tell them not to do. You see? When you come to the shaft, before, you came down to the last running, you would be sitting on the, you sat on the limit, you sat on your leg, like. And when you got down to the side where the tubs had to go down to the shaft entrance for the grow, you would get off and walk down with the pony, and then you would walk right down, say that there would be tubs in front, and before he come to the tubs, normally a good pony would come out on his own, and as soon as he stepped out, you pulled the pin, and he just walked out. But sometimes he wouldn't come out, you see. And it would, or if they come out at too sharp, you'd probably pull the tub over. And that didn't suit the driver that was using it. But it, that didn't happen very well.
What duties did you have in the stables?
Just clean them out and things like that. Doing, brush your horse, or you brush your horse, or something like that.
They were kept down the mine, weren't they? Down,
yeah,
there
all the time. Till when the public holidays came, that was the only time, like a fortnight a year, they came up and brought them out. Yeah.
Were you all with them when they ever did that?
No, but I've seen them out. Yes.
How did they behave? It must have been strange for them.
Yes, till they got used to it. And I think they'll be in the shop when they went back. No.
So at first you were a driver, then you were on the stables.
Yeah, just
how long were you doing that for?
Spare. Well, I only worked there 2 years.
So
spare, and if the driver didn't come in, you took his run, you see.
Now, what about the general strike? Because that was in 26.
It finished when I started. It's funny, the pit that I started at was a black light pit.
They'd carried on working?
Yes.
Did that sort of thing linger on? Was the mine workers union active in Coronation?
Yes. Oh, not in there. No, but in the coal industry there were.
But the Coronation pit was generally not unionised?
Well, it was unionised, but not to the extent of the others. It was a small pit, you see.
Were you in the union?
Not then. I mean, I was only 14.
So, what made you decide to get out of the pit?
Well, the wages. So, because where I lived, at Walbottle, there was a bus company started. And I got an offer for a job there, so I left the family.
Now, a job as what?
As conductor.
And that
I
was...
I was only 16, but I was only 28.
And that was better wages?
Yes. The wages then was 25 shillings on the buses. Where in the pit I was getting about 14 shillings.
How did you enjoy conducting then?
Good, because it was a good job.
What route were you on? Oh, were you on a lot of different routes?
Yeah, Louisville and Carlisle, Newcastle-Carlisle, Newcastle-Allendale, Allenheads, and Louisville, Allendale, Hexham, Corkins.
Did you... As a conductor, did you want to become a driver, or you know, was it a stage you went through, or did...
Yeah, because, I mean, you weren't at the age then. I mean, I'm only 16.
But you saw it as leading to being a driver?
Yes. In fact, I didn't start driving until after I came out of the army.
So you were still a conductor when the war broke out?
Oh, yes.
So...
In 1939.
Yeah. So you were there, 11 years as a conductor.
Yes.
Anything you want to tell us about that, other than that? Anything?
Oh, no. It was
just steady work.
It was steady work and travel and everything and meeting people and that. It was a good job.
Now, what about... were you aware of what was going on in Germany during that? I mean, still young, but, I mean, during the 1930s.
Oh, no.
Did you follow what was going on overseas?
All you are involved in your life in them days, if you were working. Because half the people weren't working. So that was your life, working. Not what anybody else did. That was a real life.
So you just get head down, basically.
That's right, yeah.
Did you didn't think of joining the Territorial Army?
I did. I only joined 3 months ago the war started.
Now, what made you decide to do that?
Just later on, it started.
Now, before we go, I'll come back to that, actually. Had you learnt to drive privately before the war started?
No. Well, before the war started.
I mean, I know you didn't drive for the bus company, but had you learnt to drive?
Yes, off and on, but very, very little.
Did you have a licence?
Yeah, I had a licence, 931.
And that was, you got a licence to get yourself ready for driving for the bus company?
Yes. Well, it was really, you see, the bus company that I worked for at Walborough, they shifted to Newcastle, a big company bought them out, and they shifted to Newcastle, which was 6 miles. Well, at first we used to walk to work back. And then later on, we got the license to get a motorbike. And that's how I started with the license. Ride the motorbike to work and things like that.
Now, in round about June 1939, you joined the Territorials.
Yeah.
Now, how did you decide to, because your friends joined up?
Yeah,
any other reasons?
No, that was all.
Just mates?
Yeah.
And which unit did you decide to join, and how did you go about it?
Well, the main depot was at Newburn.
Depot of who?
Of the Territorials.
I mean, which regiment?
The 4th Battalion.
Northumberland Fusiliers.
Yeah. They were the territorial battalion.
And their depot was at
Newburn on Tyne. Well, I lived at Walborough. And Newburn was the address. Walborough, Newburn on Tyne, you see.
So how did you actually join up? Do you remember how you went about signing on to them?
Just went and signed up and that was
it. At the drill hall?
Yeah.
Did they ask you anything, or test you, or do anything about it, or just take you up?
Just signed you up then, that's all they wanted. People that you signed you up, once you've been signed up.
Now, how was the training organised for the 4th Battalion?
Oh, I was in... we did one camp in your camp.
Summer camp.
Summer camp. That was the only camp I was at.
Now, what about...
The war started after that.
Before you did you go to drill nights?
Yes.
Can you tell me what sort of training you got on drill nights?
Just ordinary.
Can you tell us about it though?
Infantry training.
What do you remember of it?
Just marching and things like that, and learn about the weapons you had to use.
Which were?
Just while I was only a rifle then.
How did they go about teaching you to fire the rifle then?
Well, just put you down on a target and told you what to do.
You don't remember what that was?
No. It's normal now, but it wasn't normal then until you had to do it.
But you don't remember much about it?
No.
And what other training on drill nights?
That was all, more or less. Just all very differently training.
Now, what about the summer camp? What did you do there?
Well, it was just the same, had an exercise with two parts of the campus opposite.
Whereabouts in Yorkshire were you?
Glandale.
And what were you doing in this exercise, do you remember?
Well, just one was supposed to be the enemy and that, and just you were the other, and you had to get mixed up or keep out the way.
But you don't remember the details?
No.
That's okay.
It was very little detail, more or less.
And that's the only training you got?
Yeah,
one night a week and then the summer camp. You're only with them for 3 months, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And which company were you in of the 4th Battalion, do you remember, at that time?
HQ.
HQ company.
Yeah.
And what were you there at? You were just a normal private at the time, not a driver at the time.
No. They weren't classed as that because the drivers were under transport.
Now, what about the declaration of war, 3rd of September? What do you remember of that?
Well, I just got notified that I had to attend the barracks. And that was it. They got the orders to leave, and I had to leave.
Was that before the 3rd? Before the declaration of war?
Well, no, it was all about the declaration of war.
You didn't hear it on the radio then?
No, just got the paper.
And where did you report to? The drill hall?
No, the main barracks, the tenant barracks, was there. It's still there, the 2nd Northumberland. That was the main Northumberland depot in the country.
And what happened when you got to Fenham?
Well, you just signed up and then you had to report to the drill hall at Newport and get particulars from there.
So the mobilisation was they called you into Fenham and then sent you back to Newburn.
Newburn, that's where I took from Newburn.
Now, at some point, you were made into an armoured car unit. So you stopped being infantry and became armoured cars. When did that happen?
Yes. Before we went to France. Just before we went to France. In fact, the company, the rest of the company, Y Company and S Company, was made, they had motorcycles and sidecars. They metals, just like a sidecar, and the gun was fitted on like a bracket that was put across the front.
Machine gun?
Machine gun, by Glenn, and a gunner on his rifle. Yeah.
So that was Y&S?
When we went to France, we went away, as you say, as an armoured battalion.
No, so Y&S were motorcycles. What was X?
It was the same as Y. They were the two companies.
So they were
Y and X Company and HQ made the battalion.
Right.
Yes.
So they were motorcycles, and what did the headquarters have?
We got 22 scout cars. DMS scout cars.
And that's what the headquarters company consisted of, 22 scout cars.
That and the headquarters as always controls the battalion. I mean signals and everything. See what I mean?
So the actual company.
They made two platoons of armoured cars, 11 and 12. I was in 11 and 12. That was a list of 22 cars we had.
And they formed part of the headquarters company.
They were, yes.
And
we were attached to headquarters of that.
Now, you had Daimler armoured cars,
yes.
Scout cars. What were they like? Can you describe them? Because they're not very well known now. If you describe them for people.
The same cars as now, but they're not half as good as what they were. Because with them, you could go as fast in reverse is what you could forward. You just transferred the drive from the back to the front. So when you're going backwards, it was reversed, you see. And you had a big panel at the back that lifted up, so you just looked over your shoulder, because the seat, I mean, it was a stupid idea when it finished off, like, but it was like anything else, it's good for easiness. The seat was like that, you see, and you looked over your shoulder.
Was it diagonal? Slightly diagonal?
Yeah, practically. And you sat, the back of your seat was up against the petrol tank, and they held about 18 guns.
So how many were there in the crew?
Two, driver and gunner.
And what gun did it carry, or guns?
The gunner had a Bren.
And you were a driver?
I was a driver.
Did they train you in England to drive it?
No, you just passed. like everything else, you passed the test and you were a driver.
And what was it like to drive?
You were good. Perfect to drive. Because they were new to everything we had ever come across. Because when you turned halfway, your back wheels followed the front and you could turn in 12 foot. You could turn in a circle in 12 foot. Well, you can't do that with a four wheel drive. And you see, when you brought your log back, your back wheel straightened up. And when you were going in reverse, your back wheel just acted the front wheels. They were perfect. There was never anything we met up to then.
Were they mechanically reliable?
Yes, we had no trouble with that.
And what about armour? Did you have much armour on them?
Just at the front. The front was about 1.25 inches. And the back was just the normal.
Just ordinary metal?
Yeah, well, metal, about
panels.
1/4 inch.
And how fast could they go?
Oh yeah, they were about 45, 50.
Had you had any training in tactics for using them, or was it just for reconnaissance?
Just reconnaissance. And because they were classed as a reconnaissance battalion.
So you were in England until, I think it's January 22nd, you went abroad.
Yeah.
As a reconnaissance battalion. But you still called the 4th Northumberland.
Yes, they still put their own title.
And what happened when he got overseas in January, late January? You were at Le Mans for a while, I think.
Yeah, we went to Cherbourg and then we came up north to Le Mans. Where Le Mans was about in the middle of the track back lane. And we were there about a fortnight now.
What do you remember? Don't worry about the thing. What's the next thing you remember about your time in France? Because then you went up to the Le Bassée area.
Went to Le Bassée, yes.
This is all before the real war started.
Before the action started, yes.
And do you remember anything about that time?
Oh, we had a good time, like with the whole. Before, when you weren't fighting, you had a good time.
Doing what?
Well, just doing normal things. And being in a different country, it was different, and meeting different people.
How did you get on with the French?
All right. At the time, yes. Well, you didn't have that much contact with them.
Did you visit Estaminets, the French cafes, wine cafes?
Yeah.
What were they like?
They were good. And they looked after the soldiers.
So anything else about the time before the 10th of May when it all started off?
No, because it was, nothing happened and it was, we had a reasonable time.